I'm going to tell you, I've changed the sermon this morning. So if you've got notes in there, you can just kind of keep them for next week. Go ahead and fill them out, what you think that they should say, and then you can test it next week. It's like a contest. So I will call this a bicycle sermon. The reason is because on Thursday morning, after the bulletin is already printed, God spoke to me while I'm riding my bicycle up here, just letting you know what happened. I'm riding my bicycle. God said, I want you to preach this Sunday. And so I came here and literally, I'm telling you the truth, I'm typing it in as fast as I can because I want to remember what the Lord has told me. This is actually the real truth. I mean, it's kind of funny because Heather comes in to me and says, we have prayer cards in there. Can you pray for those people? And I said, I don't have time. And I said, wait a minute. I said, Heather, that's a wrong answer there. I'm going to go back and pray. I think God will keep reminding me of what I need to say this morning. So that was the deal. And I didn't even tell Brett. I didn't tell Brett about this. You know the reason I did? Because I was afraid Brett would try to change the songs. And he picked the right songs in the first place, so it didn't really matter, did it? So I was afraid he was going to try to pick the right songs, and the songs would... I mean, I didn't want to put any stress on him. So I said... God, you know, literally gave me the scripture. I mean, the whole bit here. I'm just saying this. What happens in the middle of a storm? Is God there with you in the middle of a storm? Let me show you a couple of things. In May of 2015, we were in a tornado. Let me see that. This is the tornado. We were literally in this tornado in Texas. I did not take this picture. I'm going to tell you up front. It really looks like my parents' farm because you can see the trees there and all of that. I mean, if that's not my parents' farm, it's a farm that looks just exactly like out of the back of their farm. And this tornado was coming, and it was coming directly at us. You know how we noticed that we were in a tornado? There was a roaring wind. That's one of the things. But then we watched a cattle trailer go past the window. Show that picture of the cattle trailer next. Here, that cattle trailer right there went past the window. Normally, we pull that behind a pickup truck. There was no pickup truck attached to it. We don't really know. It landed up against that. There was a fence post about this big around right there. It's an old bridge timber, and it's been set in the ground. So there's not much going to be able to move that thing. You can see it very carefully. The gate has been knocked out, and all of the stuff is piled up over there. Cattle trailer had a dent on the top of it. We don't know if a tree hit it, you know, because they're flying around like crazy, or whether it rolled. We don't know if it rolled up there like that, or you know, I'm talking about the cattle trailer rolling over and over. But it was facing the other direction, so it's actually turned all the way around, and it landed up against there. Now, here's the craziest part about this. When I rented the car to visit my parents, the lady said, you need to get the extra insurance on this car. I said, I am not buying the extra insurance. She said, you really need to get it. I said, I am not buying that insurance. I am not buying that insurance. I am not buying that insurance. I mean, and finally she gave up. I mean, I'm talking about a 10-minute conversation, and I was sure I was not going to buy that insurance. I'm absolutely not going to buy that insurance. Here's what happened. Show the next one. There's the rental car. That's the pile of junk on the side. I'm talking about trees and stuff. We didn't pile those trees up there. That one tree is 14 inches from the car. There was not a scratch on that car. Not a dent, not a scratch, not anything. However, I have bought the insurance every time I've rented a car since then. Just letting you know what happened there. So But that rental car didn't get a scratch on it. I just couldn't believe it. I went out there and videoed it because I thought, I just bought a rental car. But anyway, so that's not what happened at all. So we were in the middle of this storm. We were right in the middle of this tornado. Well, the reason I bring that up is because we're in the middle of a storm right now. We're in a storm because this coronavirus or the COVID-19, let me clear up something just because I'm tired of hearing it. COVID-19, the 19 stands for the year it was discovered, not that there were 18 other strains. Okay, it's the year it was discovered. So in some cases, you'll see it called COVID-19-20, okay, because it's obviously in this year as well. So the COVID-19 has caused us to panic in amazing ways. We have, and honestly, folks, if you have health problems, you need to take every precaution they have told you. Do not take this lightly. I'm not trying to say that. But, and I will tell you that most of the people had pre-existing or at least some kind of condition in their lives, those that are actually dying from it. There are some exceptions, but they're very rare. And then on top of that, what happened is there's this little oil war going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And what did that cause us to have happen? The stock market crashed. I mean, it really has crashed. And here's the thing about that is that, you know, you can say, well, whoop-de-doo, the stock market crashed. I'm not have that much in it. If you're retired and you're depending upon that money that you have set aside to be able to use for your retirement, it's a terrible thing. And I do not want to rejoice over the fact that the stock market crashes, because I know for a lot of seniors, that amount of money that they have saved for their retirement is keeping them from living on nothing but Social Security and dog food. So understand, I don't want to rejoice over any of the kind of stuff that happens. Even if I could make money off the deal, I would not think that was a good thing. The uncertainty has a very likelihood that it could cause businesses to sit still and rather than explore. And when they don't, when they stop hiring, you can imagine what happens after this. And see, they often stop hiring, they pare back, and they don't construct things, and a lot of things happen because of that. And see, about the only thing that I've noticed that goes up in difficult times is alcohol consumption. For some reason, people are under stress, and and toilet paper sales, I don't understand that one, but that one is not one that normally comes up. But the fact is that the alcohol consumption, because people are under incredible stress. So a storm has come upon us, so what do we do? So the Lord gave me this. Let's look at a literal storm and see how that there was a reaction there and what we can learn from this. It's found in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you want to take a copy of the scripture out, there's no slides this morning. They're not there because I didn't want to put stress on these people as well. But it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats went with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Let me show you some of the things that the Lord revealed to me in this. Storms come upon people who are doing God's will too. I think that when you look at this scripture, what were these disciples doing? What did he tell them? Let's cross this sea. He told them to do it. He gets in the boat. He falls asleep in the back of the boat. And they are doing exactly what God has told them to do. We don't know where they were on the Sea of Galilee, but they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Now understand, these are open boats. They are open boats. They found one from the first century. They have them displayed there in Israel. It's an open boat. So they got in that open boat and they started rowing. They were doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. See, a storm overtakes them before they get to the other side. But what people want to say is this: if you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do, there will never be any storms in your life. That's what they'll tell you. The fact is that they'll come up with it. Have you ever heard this one? Well, if these bad things are going on in your life, you must not be paying the preacher. You may have heard that before, somewhere down the line. Now, that one might be true. I should say that. No, it's not true. It's not true. You see, because one of the problems that we have as preachers sometimes is that we preach that if you do everything right, you're going to have perfect health, you're going to have perfect wealth, and you're going to be absolutely wise. See, you're going to have, if you do everything right, you're going to have godly kids, you're going to have great jobs, you're going to have lots of wealth, and all the health you could ever have wanted if you do everything right. But it's not true. Hear this carefully from me. Bad things don't just happen to good people. I got that right. You understand I said that. I said bad things don't just happen to good people. Bad things happen to godly people too. I didn't say bad people. Bad things happen to godly people too. Yes, God uses the opportunity to refine us. You know, yes, you know, Jesus said if you bear fruit, he's gonna prune you. Yeah, I got that. You've done the right thing there. And yes, God uses the opportunity, but when something bad happens to you, therefore, you mean to say, it isn't necessarily because I'm doing something wrong. You might be doing exactly what God wants you to do. The promise of this world is that there's going to be trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace. There's the thing. What's he about to say? He said, in me you might have peace. Because what he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And what he's trying to say to us is that don't think that these bad things happen to you because you did something bad. Sometimes that does happen. But you can be godly and do exactly what God wants you to do and still have bad things happen to you. Isn't that the story of Job? You read that story back in Job? I mean, Job was doing exactly what he should have done. And bad things started happening to me. I remember one time, one of my daughters, she had a fender bender one night. She called me. All my daughters are grown. So she's grown. And she said, Dad, I tithed this morning and everything. Why did this wreck happen to me? Why did I have this fender bender? I said, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. Doing God's will not ward off the storms in our lives. We'll still have storms. Second thing the Lord told me is this. Storms come up suddenly. The Sea of Galilee is approximately 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. It's those 600 feet below sea level. I want you to hear those words. In November, it's very typically out on the Sea of Galilee, it can be up to 80 degrees. I've been out there in November on the Sea of Galilee. I'm talking about, you go to Jerusalem, it's 42 degrees. You go, which is at 2,800 feet above sea level. You go to the Sea of Galilee, it's 600 feet below sea level. It can be up to 80 degrees. There are mountains to the northeast of Israel that are about 9,000 feet high, roughly in the 8,000, 9,000 feet high. And we know that if you're at 8 or 9,000 feet high, the air is cooler, right? We know it's a lot cooler. And when the winds come over those mountains and blow that cool air, cold air sinks. Cold air sinks, and where's it going to go? It's going to go right down to the Sea of Galilee, where it's 600 feet below sea level. That's where it's going to go. And what is it going to meet when it gets down there? Warm, moist air. What happens when you mix warm, moist air with cold air? You get a storm like that. I have been out on the Sea of Galilee in a morning time when it is just as smooth as glass. Go to eat lunch at a restaurant on the shore, and the water is just breaking over the top of the shore there. I've seen it happen, and I mean just within a little bit of time. So whether or not they were trying to go the 13 miles or the 8 miles across, they didn't head out in the middle of a storm. They headed out when things were calm, and it came upon them suddenly. This storm was unpredictable. It was unexpected, but it was always possible. So since Storms come upon people suddenly. A lot of people want to live their lives in fear. They want to prevent any storms from coming upon them. They want to be protected absolutely in every way. And so there are people that will not go anywhere and they will not do anything because they are afraid of a storm. Every time I have gone to Israel, people have said to me, "Do you feel safe?" Hear me. Every time I've gotten some people say, "Did you feel safe while you're there?" I feel just as safe as I feel here. Every time I have gone over there. Let me tell you why. Life is not safe. It never will be. Because things will happen. Planes can crash. People don't fly. Cars can wreck. Maybe they don't want to ride in a car. Terrorists can attack. They don't want to go anywhere unusual. Sickness can infect. And storms can erupt. These things are unpredictable. They are unexpected, but they are always possible. And they come up suddenly. Less than a month ago, our economy was soaring. Let's be honest. I don't know what it's going to do now. It may or may not continue. I have no idea how it's going to affect with the stock market and such. But the storm came suddenly. So remember, you can't live your life that way. What you do is put your trust in the Lord every day. Don't wait for a storm. It could happen anytime. So you shouldn't wait until your boat is sinking to call upon the Lord. The disciples are struggling with the wind. This is what's doing with them. The boat is taking on water. It says it there. And it says, they have gone from concern to what? Panic. Does that sound like something we have here today? It says, why did they wait so long to wake him up? That's what I wonder about this. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Maybe they thought the bouncing up and down would wake him up. They didn't have to. But maybe they thought that they could handle the storm without him. We don't have to wake up Jesus. We got this. Most of us are fishermen. We know what it's like to be out here on the water. We know what it's like. We can paddle this boat. We can keep going here. You know, here's what I would say to you. Little people want to do it all by themselves. If you've heard somebody who's about 3 years of age say, "I do it myself," you understand that. Little people want to do it all by themselves. They don't ask for help. Of course, there's the other side of that equation, and that's dependent people. Dependent people don't want to ask anybody, but they just hope that some hero shows up. Some savior will show up for them that they, you know, so they have this on the other side. They won't recognize the savior and try to get the savior to help them. What they do is they just hope that he saves them without anything else having to be done on their side. So you have the two extremes. And we're all going to land in one of those if we don't depend upon the Lord. Either you're insisting you can do it yourself, or you're expecting somebody to rescue you without ever having to do anything. And honestly, our own salvation is the Savior that comes to us, but we have to respond to him, don't we? It's not about him just saving us and then we just kind of end up in heaven one day and I'd say, "I wonder how I got here." You know, that doesn't happen. On the other side, we can't say, "Well, I'm going to work my way into it myself. I'm going to be able to do it all myself." It doesn't work that way. You see, one lets the boat sink because you think you can stop the storm itself. And the other lets the boat sink because you won't lift a finger to do anything. You're not going to do anything about it. Now, I had a guy in one of my churches that I served in. And he was my associate pastor. He was a parachutist. I guess that's what you call him. They're people that jump out of airplanes with a parachute. I mean, maybe there's another name for them. He wasn't a skydiver because he wasn't about how far can he before he hit the ground. They didn't jump from high altitudes. They jumped and parachuted down, and he did this over and over again. And he told me that he had had friends that something would go wrong with their first parachute. And instead of pulling the second chute, they would fool with that first parachute until they hit the ground. They didn't. They just would keep working on it, keep working on it. I can straighten this out myself. I can straighten this out. He said there was a fee to have a second parachute packed. So there was a cost involved in this as well, and they could straighten it out. And they thought they could do it all the way to the ground. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's a cost every time that you admit you can't do something. It may be to your ego. It may be to your pride. But it's going to be a cost that goes on with that. And being humble is the best place to be because you call out to the Lord. Now, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I mean, I do a lot of my own stuff around my house. I was doing some of that yesterday. I had a Pilot, a Honda Pilot. It has a rear differential on it. It's a four-wheel drive vehicle, and the rear differential needs to be changed. So I went and I looked on YouTube, how do you do it? I did the thing. I did all the stuff. I pumped the differential fluid. I drained the differential fluid out. I put the new differential fluid in, and I said, there, I've got it. The time has come for my Subaru now to have the differential that's actually up in the front. And so I got on YouTube and I said, well, let me see how this one is done. And I watched them do it. And you know what I decided? I'm going to take it to a mechanic. You know, there's a difference between saying, you know what, I can do something about it. And there's a difference between that and saying, you know what, I got a better chance of messing this up than I have in getting it right. Saying, I'm not going to wait till I have a problem either before I take it in. So we have to be able to say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I mean, if we want to know the truth, the fears that we have, the anxieties that we had would immediately calm down if we really recognize the Lord is there to help us, because the Lord cares about you even when you don't see Him acting. He cares about you even when you don't see Him acting. See, so they wake up Jesus. They finally wake up Jesus. And when they do, they say, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you know what that sounds like to me? You really don't care about us, do you? That's what it sounds like to me. You know, and I can imagine the incredulous look on Jesus' face. Do you really believe that? Don't you have any faith whatsoever here that I care about you? But when we get into the middle of a storm, sometimes we kind of forget that the Lord cares about us. And we say things like, if He really loved us, we don't say this out loud, but we really think it. He said, if He really loved us, He would have prevented the storm. If He really loved us, He would have been even ahead of the storm. He would have smoothed it out before it even could get to us. If He really loved us, we wouldn't be in this place in the first place where we are. When Lazarus got sick, you know that Jesus didn't show up right away. And what happens is when He does show up, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And you remember what Mary and Martha said. Said, Jesus, if you had been here, if you had been here. You know what? That sounds to me like you didn't bother to show up when we sent for you. If you had been here. Do you really think that the one who died for us doesn't love us when a storm comes up? Really? The storm does not affect the Lord's love for us. It does not affect. He doesn't love you more in the storm or less in the storm. He loves you the same whether you're in the storm or not. He cares. And you know, and it can seem like all is lost, just like it did with Lazarus. But He cares, doesn't He? He cares. You know that short verse that people kind of use as their favorite verse when they can't remember one, they have to quote something. They said, what is the favorite verse? You know, Jesus wept because they can remember that one. You know what that says to me? He cares. He cares. He weeps with us. He cares. I had a deacon in another church I was serving. He came to me because what happened was that our chairman of deacons' mother passed away. And he came to rebuke me. He said, on the Wednesday night, after we heard about this, you weren't even at church. You were, you know, and the chairman of deacons, his mother passed away. And I said, do you know where I was on that Wednesday night? Because I got somebody else to lead prayer meeting and do a Bible study. And he said, no. I said, I went to the town where that chairman of deacons' mother lived, and I was with the chairman of deacons at that on that night. You know what he said? Well, how was I supposed to know that? Still my fault, I guess. See, let me tell you something. The Lord is working when you don't see him working. He's showing that he cares even when you don't see it personally. And it doesn't mean because you don't see it that he's not doing it or that he's not caring. So if you're in the storm, he loves you in the storm just as much as he did when you're not in a storm. He loves you all the time. And then lastly, the Lord said to me this. The Lord is greater than the storm. Is that true? Is it really true? Yes, it is. The Lord simply said, you know, in the, I translated it. I'm sorry, I don't do this other stuff. But it translated, he said, calm down, be silent. Literally what it says. Calm down, be silent. He said that to the sea. Can you imagine that? Saying, calm down, be silent. Now, why should we be surprised that the one that created creation with his words would be able to control it with his words? Isn't that, wouldn't that, that's not a surprise. There shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, it says in John 1:3 that he created everything. Jesus created everything. And it says that all things were created by him and nothing that has been created was created without him. That's what it says in John chapter 1, verse 3. So we have that Jesus is that person who is the creator. And how was he created? Let there be light. And there was light. You know, and you understand that what he said, it had to obey. And so it obeyed and creation was made from that. And so creation had to obey him. And creation still has to obey him. It still obeys him. You see, is God bigger than coronavirus? Well, my God is. I will tell you. Is God bigger than the downturn in the economy that might come? Well, my God is. I believe that. Is he bigger than illness or loss of a job or a divorce or any other kind of concern? Well, my God is. The question is he your God too? That is really the question that we have. And if he is, call out to him. Tell him, not because he needs to know it, but say it so you know it. Tell him, I have a storm. I have a storm right now. And I need you, Lord, to calm that storm. I can't do it, and my boat is taking on water right now. And I know you love me, and I know that you're bigger. And so I ask you right now, Lord, tell the storm, calm down, be silent. But the question always is this. Will you pray with me, please?